Okay. All right. Well, greetings. This is the 27th of September. And thank you, Lord Jesus. Lord, I thank you for that worship. I just want to pray here, man. Oh, Holy Ghost. I'm going to yield to everything you want to do, Lord. I assist you. And I'm saying, come on, don't hold back. Please, I need all of I can get, and I'm not going to put any restrictions on what you want to do. Lord, we just bow our hearts to you because you're looking for someone who is looking to you. Lord, your word says that if we draw near to you, that you will draw near unto us, and says that we draw near first, and so we do. And I ask you by your grace, Lord, that you put such a hunger and a hunger for you, a hunger for you, not the things you do, but a hunger for you, just to be with you, just to be with you, Jesus. Lord, I thank you for your goodness. I bow my heart to you right now, fresh and anew again. Just want to surrender to you, yield to you, and I want you to, the Lord, to just do everything, all that's in your heart. I just want to bring what you want me to bring. Lord, I ask you to bear witness, and I know you will, to the things that I say that you want me to say. If I get it right, Lord. And I just say to my soul, be still. Now yield to you, Lord. I just surrender to you. And I am expectant of you, Lord. I wait, my soul waits for you, Lord. Lord, and I submit to you. And my heart is expecting, Lord, that you bear witness in Jesus' name. Amen. So we invited a bunch of folks. I don't even know how many are on here, but I think we may have lost one. Anyway, got Kathy here with me, and I'm going to take my last message, which was, what can the righteous do? Continue with it, and actually it's going to just propel right into what that project is that I'm going to get started. Okay, so just want to say that several years ago, I believe it was 2011, and for Sunday after Sunday, I was part of Grace Church in Chapel Hill, and I was part of a very small group that helped start that church. And so were Gene Allen and Gene Hum. They were part of that, and they were there before I was. And so, but we were early in that, and I was going there, and I knew it was time for me to move on. I didn't want to be honest with you, because there were people that were adults that had children that I had taught in Sunday school. So, I mean, I had so many ties there, but I knew that the Lord wanted me to move on, and I got the blessing from Pastor Kendrick Vinar there, and a couple of people that laid hands on me before I left. Kind of felt like I left abruptly, but they pulled me into the office there and laid hands on me one Sunday as I was going out. Didn't realize, I thought I was going to be moving down here right then, but I wasn't. Another story. But what happened is, leading up to that moment, every Sunday as I'm walking out of the church, the Lord would speak to me very distinctly, very clearly. And one of the things he said was, my word is hidden from my people. Now, I know that it's also is hidden for my people too. But what he said to me, my word is hidden from my people. And I said, well, Lord, if it's hidden from your people, it's hidden from me too. Because I'm one of you, one of the people. And he said, I said, hidden from me too. So, help me. And he said, well, I'm going to reveal things to you, and there's going to come a time when I want you to teach my people. And of course, that was back in the days when he spoke so many things over me by prophets and different ones. And I'm sitting there going, "You have got the wrong guy." I mean, anybody that knows me knows that I'm not a teacher. But I'm telling you, I've seen the Lord do incredible things because I just offered it up myself up to him in my weakness and just yielded to him. And I think that was 2011. And time has gone on now, and I went to Charis Bible College for 3 years, which was an incredible time for me. But I want to go back now. I want to take a look at this. What can the righteous do? Where I wound up, I'm going to review right the tail end of all that. For some of you that heard that, then you'll be more up to date. But the rest of you, if you want to hear that, you can go on Ernestine's website, kingdomplacenc.com, I believe it is, but Ernestine can tell you. And just look on sermons and then it'll be down there. But you got to be real patient because, see, what happened is I got old. And when I got old, I got slower, if it's possible. But I did. And I went back and listened to the message myself yesterday. And it's difficult listening to yourself. I'm sorry it took so long. But let me just review right here. Psalms 11, verse 3, New King James says, "If the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? What can the righteous do?" And I went to that verse and we talked about that. And the question was, what if your foundation isn't destroyed? But your foundation, it's not a right foundation. Because I've come across many Christians minister to several, many, many, that their foundation wasn't laid right. It was missing some key ingredients, some essential things. Or what if you have a good foundation, but it was started, but it wasn't completed? And that's where I was going to, because what the Lord had been speaking to me about was what I'm going to be sharing and what I'm going to be teaching and training on in this next project. And I believe the title of it's going to be Abide in the Secret Place. And the Lord was speaking to me over the last several weeks about several things. In regard to this, there's a backstory to this, which I'll bring to you in a minute, that started 50 years ago. But the Lord began to speak to me about it and really just focusing on the fact that this is an essential part that is missing from much of the body of Christ. And he told me 50 years ago that one day I'd be teaching on this. And again, I said, "You can't be serious." But anyway, here we are. Last month when I taught on this subject right here, I went through several scriptures. I'm only going to go through a couple right now. But one of them I went through was Colossians 3, verses 1 through 3. And I'm going to read out the English Standard Version. "If then you have been raised with Christ," which you have, "seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God." Now, the word also says that we are seated together with him in the heavenly places. And I've preached on that before. But it says, verse 2 says, "Set your minds on things that are above and not on the things that are of the earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God." Galatians 2:20 says that you have been, I'm going to put your name, put you in there. You are crucified with Christ, nevertheless, you live. Yet, not you, but Christ lives in you. And the life that you now live, you live by the faith of the Son of God, not in the Son, but faith of the Son of God. I used to think it was faith in the Son of God until the Lord really made that clear to me, because I was having to do some things that he'd asked me to do. And I said, "Lord, I don't have faith for that. And I've been working on it, getting faith for it." And he said, "You don't need it. You need my faith." He said, "Remember, I said, you live by the faith of the Son of God. I've already got enough faith for you. How about you just rest in that?" And I started to rest in it. And I'm telling you, things flowed, and we saw the Holy Spirit move, and people were transformed and healed, and we saw a lot of things. But I went through their scriptures here talking about how that he's calling us to be separate. He's calling us to we're in the world, but not of the world. And I also talked about how, it's the cares of this life that are the thorns that he talks about in Mark chapter 4. That choke the word, makes it ineffective, and it can't bear fruit. And then I began to take you into a place where I went to Jude, verses 20 and 21, only one chapter, but you beloved, build yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. Keep yourself in the love of God. And then I talked about how, what does that mean? How do you keep yourself in the love of God? And I gave you an exercise. See, one of the things that I have found that the Lord wants me to do is not just talk about something, but show you how to do it. That's me. You got to show me. When I was first coming along, and there's some folks on here that were part of that group, when we got born again, it was the Holy Ghost just swept us into the kingdom. And, it was just incredible time. But we were being discipled by a pastor, Pastor John Shackleton, and then Brother Steve Humphrey. And they take us out and showed us what to do. We'd go out to witness, and this is how you do it. And they'd show us. This is how you minister to people in rest homes. They would show us. This is how you minister to people in the jails and the prisons. They showed us how. This is how, I didn't know how to worship. They taught me how to worship. They taught me how to read the word. They taught me everything I needed to know. So that's what he's asked me to do. And I gave an exercise that I learned from Brother Jerry Daly about how to keep yourself in the love of God. And I talked about it last month. And Jerry had a group of us together one time, and he said, "I want you to close your eyes. This very simple. I just want you to do this. Don't go by your feelings, just do this. Lord Jesus, I receive your love right now by faith." Now just keep repeating that. Lord, I just drink of your love right now by faith. And we just kept doing that. And I'm telling you, didn't feel nothing to start out with. But as we kept doing it, we were just receiving it by faith. Well, guess what happened? All of a sudden, it was like we were enveloped in that revelation of his love for us. We just, oh, it was an incredible time, and there was a party. I mean, we just had a great time. And that's a very simple thing that I still do. I learned that from Pastor Jerry. I learned that among many things. But that's the kind of thing that I was talking about last month when I brought this thing. And I talked about, this is how you do this thing. But you're feasting on him. And I asked a question, are you feasting on him? Are you feeding on him? Are you feasting on him? Are you feasting on his love and the lover? Do it today. And we have to do that. Because I'm telling you, there's a lot in the word that says, if you love me, you'll do this. If you love me, this will happen. Well, you can't do that. It's got to come from him. Because once you experience his love, then you can love him back. You can love him with that love he's poured into your heart. Because when we try to manufacture it, you forget it. I remember I was in a place, and there was a group of people, And just before this meeting started, they were all talking. I heard somebody say, "Oh, we just love the Lord. We love the Lord." The Lord spoke to me. He says, "They don't love me." And I said, "Who, Lord?" He said, "Look out. Look at the crowd." And I'm looking at him. And he said, "They don't love me because they don't know me. They don't know me." I said, "Well, Lord, do you mean they're not born again?" He said, "No, they're born again. They're coming to heaven. But they don't know my love. They're not experiencing me. They're not encountering me. And they don't, in other words, they don't know me." Talking about the biblical know, intimacy. And that's what he was speaking to me about. And so that takes us right into this new project that I'm going to do. And why now? Why am I doing it now? Well, I've known that I was going to do this, and I've been saying it. I mean, it's like Pastor Ernestine's there's like, "Robert's going to do this one day." He told me he's going to do this one day. And I've told other people, and Pastor Kent, Coates, and several others. And but the timing, I can't go into the whole thing that the Lord spoke to me about 5 years ago, but the Lord spoke to me one day when I was reading to Kathy. Now, many of you may not know, but with Kathy, we went through a situation where surgeons messed up and caused a problem, and Kathy had a stroke. And so, I'm a caregiver now. But we were sitting, we were, before we moved into this home, we were living in an apartment, and I was reading out loud to her, which was good for me too, because I was intimidated with that, reading, because I've always had problems with reading and writing and spelling and all those things, dyslexic stuff. And so I'm reading in the Word, and the Lord stops me and just begins to speak to me about what's coming, about things to come. And when he began to speak to me, he spoke for a very, very long time. He'd spoken to me about things to come for many years, but nothing like this. And it was about what he's about to do. Now, when the Lord, and it was a continuation, because he'd been speaking to me over the years, and actually, he had to remind me of it because my memory is not that great, but he reminded me of it that when I was 4 or 5 years old, he used to speak to me for several years, to right in that span of 4 to 7 or 8, 9. He would speak to me. And he would tell me, when you're old, I'm going to visit you, and we're going to do great things. And you're going to see my power. You're going to know me. In a intimate way, in a loving way, best I could understand as a child. I remember it now, but I mean, as he reminded me of it. But as time went on, some tragic things happened at that time, and I stopped hearing from him until I got born again. Immediately, I got born again, I started hearing him again. But when I got filled with the Holy Ghost, he really began to speak to me, and he began to reiterate, "When you get old, I'm there. I'm going to pour out my spirit. I'll give you just a little bit. I mean, because you've heard it before from other people now. And it'll be my last outpouring. And I'm going to pour out my spirit unlike any outpouring that's ever taken place before. And there will be no interruptions in it." And what he spoke to me about 5 years ago, is that what it would last for 7 years. He said, "But the thing is that most of the body of Christ is going to miss it. Just like when I swept you into the kingdom, and much of you on here right now, some people have dropped off already, I guess. But much of you on here right now, I can't see any of you right now because I just got to where it's just me on my screen. But most of you, or some of you, were there. I mean, you were also swept in, to the kingdom." And I was talking to my sister Linda, that's on here right now, just two or three days ago, about how, What the Lord did with us, how he poured out his spirit, and the things that we saw, and the miracles and signs and wonders and things in the very first days, the body of Christ missed because they're caught up in their traditions and their, this is how the Lord's going to do things, and their religion. And and they basically limiting themselves. And the Lord spoke to him. He said, "This is going to happen again, and it's not just going to be the established, the established Protestant churches. It's going to be the established Word of Faith, the established charismatic, established spirit filled." And he said, "I've been calling my people to come and draw near to me and know me intimately for many decades, many, many, many decades. And now, in this outpouring, I'm going to sweep in a whole new generation that will know me because my presence is going to be on them. My manifest presence will be on them, and they will know me." And I won't go into a lot more about it, but what he told me is this: "I want you to start this project, and I want you to begin to teach what I took you through, how I trained you, because it's where I want my people to be. And I don't want anybody to miss it. And I want you to do this." And at some point during the process, now I don't know if it's going to be, I thought when he told me 5 years ago, it's going to be like within the next year or two. Because I mean, you look, he's told me a lot of things that he was going to do and he wanted me involved in. And this is part of it. What I've told you is part of it. I'm going to be 76 in 2 months. Now I'm saying to, I've been telling the Lord, I said, "You know what? I don't know what. Might better get on. I mean, if I'm ready. I mean, I think I am anyway." But anyway, so I ain't getting no younger. So he wanted me to get this done because he wanted me to invite as many as I could. And I sent that first email out to 139 people. Now, there were several emails that were no good anymore. It was like 17, but I think it's down to like 126. I sent that second email I sent today to all those. So far, I've heard back from, I think it's 23. Now, five of those are couples, so you can add five people to that want to be a part. And I'm grieved, and the Lord's grieved, but there's nothing I can do. There's nothing I can do about that, but to invite. So let me tell you now, this is such a big deal to him, because if you saw the first email, the thing that the Lord was pointing out to me, I got to tell you that when during that worship, the Holy Spirit came and settled on me, and I was like, "Lord, I got to be able to minister in a minute." So I'm feeling it right now. So help, Lord Jesus, help me. So y'all just gonna have to bear with me a little bit. I'm not trying to be something, not trying to sound spiritual or anything. I'm just struggling a little bit right now. So anyway, so thank you, Jesus. Anyway, so don't want to lose my place, Lord, because you know how my brain works. So that's why I need you so much. Oh, Jesus. I know I have the mind of Christ. Thank you, Lord. It's so incredibly important. At some point during the process of us doing this training, he's going to start visiting people while we're doing the meetings and while we're not doing the meetings. He's going to be doing some visitations. There's going to be times when he's going to manifest during the meeting in people's homes. And I'm going to tell you, don't be afraid and don't say no. Because if you say no, he'll stop. And maybe not. But I mean, I've asked him to say no a couple of times, and he stopped, and I regretted it. But let me tell you what happened, okay? And I'll try to make this quick, but it's not a quick story. I was a young man of about 25 or 26, and I was married. I was married when I got born again. Let me make sure none of my daughters are on here because I don't want to hurt none of those feelings. Want to say anything? Well, it's recorded, so they might get it anyway. Anyway, but it's married, and but my then wife didn't want anything to do with that. I mean, she saw signs and wonders just like I did. She actually experienced them, and I mean, something fell off of her body, but she just refused, and she wanted any part of it, and so we kind of. We wind up having two girls. Those girls are 50 and 51 now. So, and they're incredible ladies. And we had the first two. And but she would leave, leave me and then come back and leave and come back. Anyway, she left one time and she had the two girls. My heart's broken, because I was a scoundrel. I didn't deserve any good before Jesus. I mean, I deserved the electric chair, be honest with you. That's what I deserve. And I mean, I was worse than anybody knows. I mean, there's some people who think they know how maybe I was, but they don't. And Jesus had mercy on me and rescued me, and I wasn't looking for him. I was not looking for him. And I wasn't even interested when he was when he kept he was working on me. That's a longer story. Anyway, so here I am, and they're gone, and my heart's broken. And I don't know what to do. And I went to my pastor, and I knew what I knew was I can hear the Lord. I'm hearing him every day. But this pastor, John, he had some other, this dude had some other connection. I mean, there was presence with him. He was one of the fivefold guys. He was a fivefold teacher. He didn't just teach. I mean, when he teach, he had this grace on him that it would he could impart it to you. And I mean, he's talking to a bunch of people that were not we were not real. I don't want to hurt none of y'all's feelings, but we weren't all very that bright. I know I wasn't. I'd been kicked out of high school. Okay. And so, I mean, I was failing. I was going to fail it anyway. I got kicked out. So, my favorite pastime, fighting, I got kicked out. So anyway, but the Lord would just impart things to us. And this was a, he had such wisdom. I mean, I thought, he's an older guy. I was 23 when I got born again, and here's this guy. I forgot that he was only 31. But he had this relationship with the Lord, and he had something else. He had this walk with the Lord that I just was not experiencing. Intimacy. And this brother, for instance, he was a submariner in the Navy, was in the Navy for several years, out of 10 years or whatever. And he served on a nuclear submarine. He was a first-class petty officer. He was a electrician, E6. And they were going under the ice, and make it real quick. And before they went under the ice, now you got to remember, this had to be in the 60s when he did this. So it was kind of new. Nuclear submarines were new then. And so it going under the ice for, for months, a few months, and the electronics guy that was in charge of maintaining the electronic equipment that ran the nuclear propulsion, the reactor, so forth, got acute appendicitis, and they had to airlift him off. And they said, said Shackleton, this is your job now. And he said, I am not, I don't even think about it. He's with, it's your job. And so he just would get in his little cubicle, and they would bring him things that needed to be repaired, and he would just wait. He had taught himself how to wait on the Lord, how to quiet his heart and hear in a deep, deep level. So he'd wait on the Lord, And the Lord would tell him what it was, what was wrong with it, and how to fix it. And that happened every day. And you do that every day for months. I mean, you get to where he's going to speak to me. I don't have to worry about it. I don't have to strive about it. I know if I quiet my heart, he will. But he had further developed this walk with the Lord. And I went to him and I said, John, I'm struggling, brother. I'm hurting so bad. I miss my girls. And my heart's broken. And I'm trying to, I don't know what is going on with you, but I want that. And he said, okay, I'll help you, but the Holy Spirit's going to be the teacher. Jesus is going to teach you. The Holy Spirit's going to teach you. And he began to teach me about quieting my soul and bringing my soul into submission to my spirit. And of course, I'm a brand new, I mean, I'm only like 2 years in the Lord. I'm 2 years in the Lord. And maybe 2.5 years in the Lord. And I'm still a rascal. I mean, they're still trying to get me to stop fighting. I mean, I'm serious. You didn't want to be my pastor back then. But anyway, but they were gracious to me. John and Steve were, and hard on me, but I needed it. But anyway, so I never heard of the things he was saying. And so I was just right. I'd take notes and I'd listen to him, then I'd go and I begin to practice. Now you got to understand, I'm not just a type A person. I'm like type triple A. I mean, I'm like, this needs to be done. I said, well, let's go do it right now. Let's go. Well, no, it's getting late in the day, it's gonna get dark and we'll do it in the morning. I said, no, we can get something done right now before it gets too dark. And I got lights. I mean, that's me. No, we're not waiting. We're gonna do it right now. I mean, I'm the guy that's like lead or follow, but either way, do something or get out of my way. I mean, I'm taking over. No. I know it's hard to believe that about me, I'm so shy. But anyway, that's the way I was, but trying to quiet my soul was the most difficult thing that I'd ever tried to do. But I was determined, and I knew that the Holy Spirit would help me, and I stuck with it. And I'm going to tell you, it took me a long time. And I had started going to a Bible college in Burlington. The name of it was Bread Loaf Bible College. It was really good. And and I was living with, I think it was four other guys. In a house in Hillsboro, we called it the Christian House. Four of us single guys, we were living there, and I was going to school. I quit working, and then I was going to school on the GI Bill, and I mean, it was more than enough for what I needed. And long story is the more I stuck with it, well, I just kept going. I'd come home from. I mean, I did this day after day after day for 3 to 4 hours a day. I would just sit before the Lord and wait on the Lord and discipline my heart and bring every thought into captivity. And whenever my thinking would drift and you'd imagine this and that and other, like I said, nope. So you be still. And I had scriptures. I got them all. I mean, I'm going to be teaching on that stuff. And I was able to, I got to a point where one day it's like I broke through something. And his presence was so, I don't even know, I don't have words. It's tangible, doesn't even begin to say it. I mean, and his voice, I mean, he spoke to me and it was like nothing I'd ever heard before. It wasn't like when I was normally hearing him. I mean, it was like I heard his voice and I hit the floor. I mean, it was so holy. And his goodness is so good, it's overwhelming. His goodness can kill you. I mean, it's overwhelming. And it was like that. And he was speaking to me, and he was speaking to me so plainly. And what he said to me, he says, this is where I want you. This is where you can come into to my inner chamber. This is my secret place. And I said, Lord, this is your heart. He said, yeah, this is my heart. And I didn't dare ask him any questions. I mean, I just couldn't do it. But the questions that I had been asking him, he would just answer them for me right there, just clearly. It was just so cool. And he would just talk to me. And the next day, it would might take me 2 hours to get to this place. But for the rest of the 2 hours or so after I break through, he would speak to me and we'd just be together. And his presence was so overwhelming. I'm undone. Now that I've tasted of it, ain't nothing else matters. I mean, nothing. I didn't care about nothing else. I just had to be with Jesus. I mean, I don't just, hey, Lord Jesus, take me now. And sometimes it would just overwhelm me. And I got to where I could get up, off the floor and sit on the bed. But every day I got there easier and got there easier and got there easier until it got to the point where we'd have classes about 1 o'clock and I'd come home and sit on my bed and I'd close my eyes and boom, I'm there. And he's speaking. And his presence, I mean, but it got to where his presence didn't leave. That was the thing that started happening. So I'm at the school one day, and the guy that started that school was an incredible man, very extremely well educated. That man had so many degrees. I mean, he was highly educated, several master's degrees and whatever, PhDs and education and in English and this and that. But he flowed into signs and wonders and it just facilitated it in his meetings and at school and things. And so he came up to me one day and he said, he was a much older man. I think he was probably in his 60s at the time. And he said, "Robert, I want to talk to you a minute." He pulled me aside. He says, "I recognize something's going on with you. And I think I know what it is, but I want you to tell me what you think it is." I said, "Brother, I don't have a clue. I'm in uncharted waters and as spooky as all get out. I mean, I'm loving it. But let me tell you what I've been doing." So I told him what I've been doing. I mean, it's been going on for months at this point, like a year. And or maybe over a little over a year. And so he said, "Never stop, Robert. What I call this is that your soul has caught up with your spirit." And he said, "Never stop, never stop." And I said, "Well, here's where it's getting weird to me." And it's really, pardon me just a second. I said, "What's going on now?" And said, "Well, I didn't realize till just this past week the Lord began to speak to me." I said, "What's going on now is like, I'm always aware of his presence. I'm always aware of his presence. But when I go get still to get with him, it's amplified hugely. But I am always aware of his presence. And I'm never not aware of his presence. And I can't even get a question out of my mouth. It's in my mind. He's answering it. And he's so good. Lord, you're so good. Oh my goodness. He's passionate. He's wild. His love is wild now. He is. And he said, "Well, whatever you do, don't stop." Well, there came a time when I did stop. One day I went home. I mean, I got to where I didn't even want to go to school because I wanted to meet with him. Because all day I'm in school, all I wanted to do is get home just to be with him. And so I went home, came home from school one day, and I'm sat down on the bed immediately. I mean, there it is. And I'm enveloped in this. I couldn't see a cloud, but I knew I was there, And I was so good to be with you, Lord. And he said, "Robert, in a minute, your ex is going to call." I'm not going to say her name, but I don't feel right doing it. She's going to call you and she's crying and she wants to come back. And I said, "Well, Lord, I'm good. I don't want her to come back, Lord. I just want to be with you." He said, no, I want you to say yes. Well, I can't say no to him. I mean, I there's no way. I can't say, I don't care what I want. I can't say no. And he said, I want you to tell her to come on back. And I mean, as soon as I said yes, the phone rang. He said, that's her. I said, Lord, all this is going to change. I got to move out of this house. I got to go quit school. I got to go back to work, get a house. I gotta go back to being the provider for the family. And this is not going to happen again. I'm not going to be able to do this. He said, we will later. He said, there'll be intermittent times when you can't, but you're still going to be able to, but it won't be like this, but it will. You will later. And it has been intermittently from time, but it ended just like that. And he said, but the day is going to come when I want you to bring this to the body of Christ. And I said, okay. I said, but I don't know how. He said, I'm going to show you. And so, years went by, and I mean, many of you that were part of Grace Church Chapel Hill will remember that Jerry was an incredible leader, I thought. And he would bring in these prophets, have a prophetic presbytery, bring in three prophets. And I mean, I've got the transcriptions. The Lord to have me pull them all out. And I've been going through them, praying through them now. I mean, I've been doing it for years now. And there's prophecies from 1992. And then he said, pull this one out and pull this one out from 2002. And he put these together. And there was several prophetic words that said, you are already equipped to have a big impact on the body of Christ right now. And I'm sitting there going, what? I mean, I build houses. I'm no teacher. I don't want to be. I don't want to be in ministry. I mean, I don't want nothing to. I got nothing to offer the Lord. I'll build him a house. I'll build you a church. I mean, that's what I know. And that's what I was in my heart. I was saying to the Lord. I said, Lord, I don't understand. He said, you will later. But I mean, I got the transcriptions. I've been reading them. And so, he'd been speaking to me about it some. So several weeks ago, he began to speak to me. Well, no. There it is. He spoke to me several weeks ago, but what happened is over a period of time, over the last 2, 3 years, he'd been speaking to me about his glory. And he'd been speaking to me about his presence, his manifest presence. Now, we used to have weekend meetings when I was going to that college. And they'd have weekend meetings, and I remember one that we had where the manifest presence came into the room as a cloud. It was like had a purple haze to it. And it scared me. I'm just being honest with you. But anyway, but the Lord was speaking to me over some time now about that. Just here and there, he was speaking to me about it. But several weeks ago, he really began to talk to me about it. And he began to tell me, he said, I want you to begin to, with your guitar and without it, I want you to begin to sing. I want you to sing in the spirit. And I want you to begin to sing in the natural, in worship. And I want you to pray in the spirit, and I want you to pray in the natural. I want you to saturate your home with it. And I want you to, I mean, continually. And said, I'm going to make your place a habitation of my presence. And I'm going to come on you like I have before. And it's going to be with you. And it's going to be on you if you have people over and you get your guitar out and you begin to worship. If they're open, if their hearts are open, it's going to get on them, and it's going to be on you. And so, I was okay, I was okay. And then he said, "I want you." And then he began to, he said, "I want you to start doing that." Well, we came under immediate attack. Kathy and I both did. Long story, but I mean, we came under attack, and so I mean, I woke up in the middle of the night, and I had started since the moment many weeks ago, forgot how many, when the Lord began to speak to me more and more about his presence and his glory. I've started coming under attack then. I was waking up in the middle of the night, always at 3 o'clock in the morning. And we began to, Kathy and I began to deal with that. You know, we know how to deal with the devil stuff. And then he would try something new, and he'd try that new, and he'd try this. So we're just putting out this fire and putting out that fire. But I woke up this Tuesday morning after the Lord told me to, he wanted me to begin to do this. Start out with, I developed all these sores in my mouth where I couldn't even talk. I couldn't eat. I had to spray, you know, my mouth with this painful stuff that would numb it up for just a minute, and so that I could talk a minute or I could eat, but I couldn't sing. And then I woke up at 3 o'clock one morning, and that went on for weeks and weeks. The doctor, they didn't know what to do. They gave me all kinds of stuff. Nothing worked. And I woke up one morning, my hands were swelled up and they were hurting real bad, 3 o'clock in the morning. And I said, man, I don't know what this is, but I'm so exhausted. I've been missing so much sleep, and my body was run down. And you know, and so that's why I'm going to try to get back to sleep. I look at it when it gets light. And it got light, and my hands were red and all swelled up. And if I tried to close my fingers, it felt like I was grabbing knives, very painful. I couldn't touch anything. It felt like I was tearing the hide off. And I mean, I could hold a bottle of water, and Kathy would have to unscrew the top. I couldn't do it. And then came up like hives, and a rash started going up my arms, and then my neck, face, and my head began to get covered around my waist and my thighs. And I said, maybe I better go see the doc about this. I mean, this is weird. I mean, it was a very much an attack. I couldn't play the guitar, and the doctor was worried about it. I got a really good doctor. Long story, but anyway, he's a believer, and but he sent me over to, got me in the next day, got me into a dermatologist, and he was worried, oh, it might be taking blood tests. He's taking more blood tests, blood, more blood. It might be autoimmune disease. That's not allowed here, not having it. And then the dermatologist says, oh, it's a disease of this, and this, you've got some vascular something, vasculitis or whatever. I don't know what. This is serious. She put me on 22 days of steroids. Drove me nuts. But it did get rid of the stuff, you know. So I was talking to Steve Humphrey. Steve and I talk every Sunday afternoon. And, you know, we preached to each other. But I was talking to Steve, and I said, Steve, tomorrow morning, a pain or no pain, I'm going to do what the Lord said. And I'm telling you, that morning when I picked up my guitar and I began to worship, it came, and it rested on me. And the Lord said, I want you to begin. I want you to begin now. Prepare. I want you to begin to teach and train people about the things I showed you in those days. Now you got to understand that. I spent a year and a half in John chapter 15, abiding. I learned some stuff that, I mean, the word is, he was right. The word is hidden, but it's for us to find. And so the Lord began to speak to me more about it, and he brought back to my memory, I'd forgotten. He said, remember in those days, and you were talking to the, you know, the president of school, and you were talking to him. He said the thing that scared you and spooked you so much was that the presence was so strong on you everywhere you went. It affected things. It affected people, and it impacted the environment wherever you were. And I said, oh, yeah, that scared me bad, Lord. I mean, I didn't even want that. I'll be honest with you. I'm a country boy. I don't know nothing. I just wanted to be just normal. Just nothing abnormal, and I'm nothing about normal. Ain't nothing normal about me. I'm just abnormal. That's the way it is. But anyway, I'd forgotten about that. And then the Lord reminded me of this scripture that I put into that first email. I believe it's, I'm going by memory now. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And he said, but I've removed the sin. I've separated it from you. I've dealt with the sin. I nailed it to the cross. So what I want you to see is that the destiny I have for my people, not in heaven, but now here on earth, that I would raise up a people who would live in my glory and operate from that position, live from there, experiencing me and my glory, my power, my presence that would be with them. And I want you to teach them how to abide. I want you to teach people how to bring their soul into submission to the Spirit. And I want you to, and he gave me so many things that we're going to incorporate into what we're going to be doing. You're going to like it. But he said, I want you to send it out. And I told us, well, I got this. Well, you send it all of them. But you're going to be surprised at who doesn't sign up. And you have no control over that. And I said, I'm calling. He said, I'm going to call them all. I'm going to call all of them. But I've been calling them for years. And they haven't wanted to be intimate with me. And so I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. But you know, I haven't been very faithful in it myself. So I'm in the same school, the school of learning how to abide in a deeper level. And so anyway, that's where we are. That's where I'm at now. I didn't expect that he was going to rest on me like he did, and I'm so strong right now. But apart from it, I can't do anything really. I'm nobody. And so I want to share this with you, right? There's John 14, verse 21. I don't use this version a lot, but I'm going to use it right now. The Passion Translation. This is something he revealed this to me. He said, those who truly love me are those who obey my commands. Now remember, I told you, we can't love him with our love. As we receive and as we can encounter his love, as we will feast on his love for us, we can love him. Now, when you love him, you don't, you know, I hear this all the time, people preaching, you got to obey, you got to obey. Now, what you got to do is encounter and experience him. Obedience will come out of that. Automatically, a product of it. You're going to want to do the things that bring him joy. That's it. Some of you know, I hope all of you do, know what I'm talking about. But it says, whoever passionately loves me, that's impossible. He's the only one that's got that passionate love. But he gives it to you. Shed abroad in your hearts. Whoever passionately loves me will be passionately loved by my Father. In other words, you were experienced how passionately he loves you. He already does. He's not going to love you. He's not going to passionately love you. He already does. And so says it, and I will passionately love him in return and will reveal myself to him. Okay, reveal. Now, here's a note. The verb translated reveal is used in John only. Well, I missed a note. I don't know what I said. But only here and in the following verse is the same way it was used in Exodus 33, 13. You know, and you, I should have looked that up. I'm sorry. But it is used as a special divine manifestation. I will reveal myself to him. It's more than merely showing him who I am. It means I will personally come to him as a divine manifestation. That's what he was showing me about John 14. Psalms 84 is what he showed me right here. Psalms 84, verses 1 and 2, and then 5 through 7, the English Standard Version. How lovely is your dwelling place? Okay. The dwelling place is what I've been talking about. I ain't talking about when you're in corporate worship. I'm not talking about anything like that. I'm talking about where he is. I'm talking about the inner chamber. That if you know anything about the tabernacle, the temple, the inner chamber, the holiest of his presence, holiest Paul. How lovely is your dwelling place. It's amazing that these people, David and others that contributed to Psalms, how they were led of the Spirit. O Lord of hosts, my soul longs, yes, even faints for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh sing for joy to the living God. Verse 5, blessed are those, this jumped off to, the Lord just, it's like neon lights. Blessed are those whose strength is in you. They are so occupied with being in your presence, Lord, and their strength. They draw strength from it. Their strength is in you. In whose heart are the highways to Zion, his presence? As they go through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The early rain also covers it with pools. They go from strength to strength. Each one appears before God as I. And the Lord said, this is what I'm talking about. I want to bring my people to this place where my presence is abiding with them, and they impact everywhere they go. I don't care if you pump gas. I don't care if you're a garbage collector. I don't care. It doesn't matter what you do. The presence goes with you and you impact the environment and people around you. I mean, it's just what it was. I mean, Lord, help me. Help me with that. I was just reading today. The day is coming when the glory of the Lord will fill the earth and they will all know me. This is what he's talking about going to happen here. I mean, it's coming soon. It's going to come very soon, this outpouring. You probably heard other people talk about it, and I don't know about all their versions. All I know is what he spoke to me. I know that. And I'm going to share that prophetic word as we go along in these trainings. I'm going to share you some things that might be hard to hear that he spoke to me. But let me tell you how this is going to work. What I'm going to do, and I don't know how many people we're going to have in the group or the daytime or the nighttime. I mean, praise God. I'm intimidated by it, but I'm saying, Lord, I'm going to rest in you. I'm going to rest in you, Lord, and you do it. Because I'm really coming in my weakness, y'all. I mean, look, these people that y'all know me, I'm no teacher. But the Holy Ghost can do it. The Holy Ghost can affect people, and I've seen him do it. I've seen him transform lives when I just did what he told me to do. If we'll do the little things he tells us to do, we'll see him operate. So what I'm going to do is we're going to have these meetings, and I'm going to request that everyone keep your video and your audio muted during the time that I'm teaching. And then like I'm going to do tonight, at the end of it, I'm going to open it up for questions and open it up for that. But I'm going to give an assignment. I'm going to give you something to practice. And then when we meet the next week, I'm going to, at the beginning of it, before I ever start, I'm going to pray. But before we do anything else, I'm going to open it up for, I don't know, 10 minutes for anyone that wants to give a testimony of and they're practicing the techniques and things that I show them, any testimony they have they want to share. And that, if everybody's got one, then we'll get 10 minutes worth, and then I'll open at the end they can share some more. And I won't stop. I mean, anybody has to leave, they have to leave. But I'll keep it open as long as people want to, as long as the Holy Spirit's flowing, I'm gonna leave it open. But I'm telling you, testimonies can spark. I've seen people healed because of a testimony. Somebody's given a testimony. I saw somebody get filled with the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues because somebody was giving a testimony about something that had nothing to do with the Holy Spirit. And so, anyway, I'm going to do that. I'm going to open it up, and there's going to be times when we get to a certain point. I'm actually going to begin it. I learned this from Ernestine. Ernestine, I'm finally going to get around to paying attention to you, girl. I'm sorry. Sometimes I'm going to start these meetings with a worship song. I'm going to get my guitar out. Everybody stay muted, and I'll just sing, and we'll just soak in it, and we'll go that way. But I just wanted to give you an idea of what things are going to be. Now, one other thing he told me to do, he said, "Robert, I want you to take some of these past messages you've done." And I think there's like I've done with recorded, with Ernestine's church here over the last whatever, couple of years, a year and a half, whatever. About 17 messages, I think. He said, "I'm going to point out some to you, and I want you to post them online." Well, there I go again. I got nothing. I don't know anything about posting stuff online. Nothing. And I don't even want to know anything. But thank God, my oldest daughter's an expert on Zoom. And I got another daughter that's pretty sharp on Facebook. And I was praying about it. And the Lord said, "I want you to start a Facebook page." So I did. And I don't know how I can share it with you, but I did put a couple of messages on there, and I've written some things and I put it on there. And I'm going to post some of my messages from here on there. And you might want to go back and catch some of them, like resurrection message I put on there. And I'm going to put some on there about the witness of the Spirit and a few other titles that the Lord's pointed out to me. I've got a thing, I'm editing some things, right, videos right now that I'm going to put on. I need to work on that. I'm trying to learn some things. I've created a YouTube channel. And it's private, so only people be able to see it are those that I send the link to the video to, and there'll be people that are engaged if they want a copy, a recording. But anyway, let me see if I got enough sense to be able to. This is risky. Let's see if I can find it. Let me see if I can. The name of the Facebook page, y'all. I'm gonna try to put it in chat, okay? The name of the Facebook page. Hang on. I'm a man. I can't do two things at one time. There it is. I just put it in chat. I think it's called The Secret Place. Is that what it is, Kathy? I'm telling you, I'm lost. I'm pitiful. The Secret Place Ministries. That's it. Now, I was telling somebody else about it, and I said it's really hard to find because there's like 1,000 of them. He said, "No, put in Secret Place Ministries, Wilmington, and you'll go right to it." But there's a link if any of you want to get to it. And I'm really pretty much finished. I just wanted to say that to you. I'm going to open it up now for anyone that has any questions. I hope it's been helpful, but let me tell you the reason why it's hard for me to answer questions. There's so many people emailing me, and I'm a caregiver, and I don't have a lot of time. And plus, I'm spending 4 or 5 hours a day right now in the presence of the Lord. And plus, Kathy is my priority. And I just don't have a lot of time to individually answer questions. That's why I'm really hoping we can answer some questions tonight. So Ernestine, if you want to stop recording, you can. I've got my recorder going, so I'll keep mine going. And
Okay.
whatever you want to, you leading this thing, so you're in charge, and I'm just going to leave
I
it.
can let it keep recording. They can ask the questions, and the way it's set up, they won't be seen there. When they
Okay.
speak, I'll see their name and I'll let you know who's asking the questions, and you can hear them and I'll let you know.
Okay.
So, yeah, it won't work. They won't be seen, just heard. Any questions for Robert? Anyone got any questions?
Or comment or whatever.
Comments?
I know some of you might be trying to find it. Button that says unmute.
That is true. You have to unmute
The
yourself.
telephone, this is not easy. I understand.
This is Deborah Ryan. Robert, you've like blown me away tonight. That's Deborah Ryan.
Hey, Deborah.
This is so exciting, and I can't wait to get started.
Praise God.
And you know, we are in a very, very significant time right now. And, you know, the Lord has shown me that. And I have heard many talk about the outpouring of the Holy Spirit and the awakening that's coming. So that resonates in my spirit very strongly. So I just want to thank you so much for your time. And I realize you have a lot on your plate right now. So, but I'm really excited about this.
Praise God. And I'll tell you, that attitude you got right there is the attitude you have to receive.
Amen.
One of the things I'll be talking about is how can we go to more deeper levels of surrender and yieldedness? Because that's what he's teaching me. He's teaching me about it, and I need to get to. So,
Thank you.
yeah.
Amen.
Who's next?
Anyone else? Thank you, Deborah. Anyone else have a comment or a question?
Linda, I know you're bound to have a comment. I'm going to unpin myself on my end.
Hey, Robert. This is Donna.
Hey, Donna.
Long time no hear from.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, when you first started, you said it Psalms, did you say Psalms 11:13?
11:3.
Okay. Thank you.
That
I
first
wrote
one.
it down and then I was looking it up and I was like, there's no 13 in that. So I must have wrote it down wrong. I didn't get it. And then dropping down, you said John 14:21, and then you said something about 33:13. What is the 33:13 relating to?
Now that was it was talking about, he says, and I will passionately love him in return and will reveal. And that word, I think what this particular guy, commentary guy, said was that word reveal is the same kind of word that was used in Exodus 33:13. And I should have looked that up, but I neglected to do that.
That's okay. I mean, I just missed the chapter, so I was like, oh, I need to ask, because I go back through and reread, you know, the scriptures, and I got five different versions of a Bible, so I try to flip them through just to get the gist of it, so I'll get it.
33:13 is when Moses, he said, now if I find favor in your sight, show me your ways, that I might, in order that I might find favor in your sight. And it later is a scripture says his deeds he revealed to the children of Israel, but his ways he revealed to Moses. And I'll tell you, his ways he revealed to David as well. He's some of those people, it's his heart. I mean, it's his intimacy with him. And that was the thing.
Thank you so much. I'm really glad that you're doing this because I've been reading, not diligently studying, but I mean, I've been just trying to get back into the presence of the Holy Ghost. And I know the reason God moved me away from everybody I knew was so he could put me in a place to where he could talk to me. So, because I was just like, I'm so lonesome, Lord, I'm so lonesome. But I just had to, I was put in a place to where,
Yeah. Well, I can
anyhow.
tell you right now, he'll feel that.
Yeah.
But I was 25, 26 years old, and I didn't have a great marriage, but I still wanted, I missed that,
That
that thing about,
camaraderie.
yeah, that thing about having, that. And I said, Lord, you've done so much for me when I was in that learning all these things and I was experiencing him. I said, can you feel that for me? And he did. So God bless you.
Well, I'm excited.
Amen.
So I
Amen.
like Deborah. So
Good.
this is awesome.
Good. Who's next?
And thank you, Ernestine, for putting this on your channel. I didn't even know you had one, but now I do.
You're welcome.
Appreciate your time for that.
You're welcome. Anyone else have a question or a comment for Robert?
She puts up with me once a month.
I got a comment. This is Linda Gale.
Linda.
I just want to say I can confirm what you shared about God calling people, calling his people, his children to more intimacy. I learned some a few years ago. I don't know, 5 or well, it's been longer than that. Purely by accident, because I was just in a place where I was desperate and learned how to quiet my soul. And then I began to hear his voice. And so there was about a year and a half where I'd get up. I got to the point I'd get up and come in here and sit in my chair and I'd say, Jesus, what would you like to say to me today? And the next thing I know, it's 4 or 5 o'clock in the afternoon and I haven't dressed, I haven't eaten. And I didn't want it to stop. But, I've also a caregiver and hadn't had a lot of time for that at all. The last year has been a lot better, and I'm getting back there. But the Lord's really been talking to me about, I want you to come deeper. There's a place you haven't experienced yet, but you're going to if you'll just make yourself available.
That's it.
And the Lord had been speaking to me and Pat together because he's told me that he's put us together to intercede in agreement for things he wants to do in our area. And he says, I want you said, and has spoken to Pat too, that he wants us to learn how to come into that secret place. And then I get that phone call from you. I'm going to be doing this class on how to enter the secret place. So.
Well, here's the thing. It's going to get gooder.
Yes.
And the best ability is availability. And so
Yes.
making ourselves available, and he'll take us. He'll take us there. I want to go. And so, amen. Okay, thanks for that. Anybody else got a question? I know there's got to be some
Question.
questions.
Yes, I would like to ask a question.
Okay, Rose, how you doing? Hey,
Thank
Rose.
you so much. I think it is of the Lord that you're doing. I feel confirmation because for weeks that's been a request to the Lord. I have a very good friend who often talks about this. Sometimes she's through the day she hears the Holy Spirit talking to her. And I would say, Lord, if you can talk to my friend, I love you. I know you love me, but I want to hear that too. I mean, I desire to be in that place where I mean, since I was a child, I've been a believer. And I remember in looking in my backyard up in the sky and talking to the Lord. And I know he heard me, but I didn't always hear a reply. I didn't feel like I needed a reply. I knew he heard me, but there's a place I believe the Lord will speak back to us, and I desire that to hear him.
Okay.
I believe this is probably an introduction to how to be in that presence. I mean, I've heard of that being his presence. I mean, I can be in his presence. mainly when I'm in a ministry atmosphere of a church. But I mean, at home, I praise the Lord. I pray in the spirit, but I desire to be in that place where I really, what you explained earlier was also awesome. I look forward to that. That's awesome.
Well, Rose, you'll get there. And you know, when I was doing all that prophetic training I was doing, I was teaching people that actually you can hear him, but you have to learn how to recognize his voice. And but where we're going to go in our training is even to a deeper level. But you're going to go there. You're going to get there, Rose. The only thing that would keep anybody, well, one is you don't quit and you work on keeping yourself yielded and surrendered. And I know you'll do that, Rose. So I know you. So, amen.
Thank you. Amen. Thank you.
Hello, this is Pat. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Robert, I just want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart. This is the timing was godly.
Praise God.
I know, just like Linda was saying, God brought us here. And just as soon as he brought Linda and I to this place, the very next week you started your classes. So thank you. You are gifted. God is raining. You keep saying you don't have teaching ability. God is raining teaching ability upon you, Robert. You are a blessing.
Amen.
That's his grace. I somehow, you know, I've taught a lot of things, and some people tell me you should never teach again. And then somebody come right behind him and says, "Oh, that was so awesome." I say, "You know what? Hey, it's all about him." And I say to myself, "You should never teach again." It's funny.
Robert, it's just like you said, all we have to do is be a willing vessel, and God can use us for anything.
Amen.
And honestly, you are gifted. You really are. And thank you again. And I'm going to have to struggle to figure out how to mute myself. I'm going to take a few minutes here.
Might maybe between now and the time I start the classes, maybe everybody get on YouTube, figure out how to do all that stuff on YouTube.
Have a practice session.
Yeah, I've been practicing too. Anybody else got Pam?
Yes,
Okay.
I'm excited about the class. I've been listening to a lady called Jennifer Betancourt, and she's been teaching a lot about this and abiding this week, too. But another thing is, I was always blessed when you led worship at Pastor Kent's house. And so I'm excited about that, too.
Praise God, Pam.
Amen.
Bless you. Anybody else?
This is Deborah again. I just have to say one more thing to
Come
my
on.
friend Pam Evans that just spoke. I was sitting here listening to this and going, I need to let Pam know about
You go.
this. And then she speaks. So, Pam, I'm so glad you're here.
Praise God.
Just
Well,
rearranged my schedule so that I could do that.
praise the Lord. Listen, if any of you decide that you want to be a daytime instead of nighttime, let me know. And Alan and Jean have already told me that they would. Hey, Alan and Jean, I see you unmuted. Go ahead.
Hey.
Hey.
It's so good that when you started talking about the way it was and how God wants to do that and more, and it's just we were going, wow, it's so neat to have been there and really know what you're talking about, I
Yes,
mean,
yes, yes. You now know. And the thing is, I was thinking about Alan a lot about this. I think about you a lot, Alan. I gotta start calling
Yeah.
I mean, I appreciate you so much, Alan. You've impacted me a great deal, and I respect you. I was thinking about this. Actually, you know, Alan. Alan's got more brain cells in his little fingernail than I got in my whole head. He's so brilliant. But and as much knowledge as he has, the training that he's had, he would tell you nothing is a substitute for him and his presence. Nothing. And he would echo that to you. I mean, Alan is a he's got a P, he's a theologian. He's got a PhD in all this stuff. And
Piled higher and deeper.
Yeah.
well, then I got one too. Well, I sure appreciate you guys. And listen, if you would, I want to tell you all, listen, feel free to pass this on to anybody you want to. I'm not going to close it to anybody. And if people come in, hey, I didn't know about it, we're 4 or 5 weeks in, then come on in, let them come on in. I mean, but I want you to, Alan, and Jean, if you would reach out to Jimmy and Claire, because I sent them, they got the emails.
Oh.
And I know for a fact from the Lord that he's got a plan for them. But he
Right.
said, and I want them, but he said, Robert, they've got to want it. Now, I mean, I don't mean just for this, but he got a plan for them here in Wilmington. And I want the plan for them. But he
Right.
said, Robert, you and I both, but they've got to want it. And they've got to be willing to humble themselves and be willing, and they're humble people. They're humble people. I love them so much. And listen, we pray for them every single night. Kathy and I do. But I
Oh,
want you
that's
to talk to them because the Lord's told me to pray for them every night. I can't pray for everybody by name, but we can pray. There's a certain group of people now, but we're praying for this group that have signed up. We're praying for them. But I just wanted to ask you if you would reach out to them. I know you will anyway. But also, that anybody wants to invite anyone that you want to share that with, you do it. And don't worry, be worried about stuff. If anybody gets on that gets unruly or something, I know how to deal with it. No problem.
Do you remember Jenny and Jerry Lawrence?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah. So now they're living in Virginia together. And I was thinking about telling them.
We'll get it on over to them.
Yeah.
I believe that Steve and Lynn Humphrey are going to be on. He told me to include them, but I know his work schedule, 3 hours earlier out there in
Yeah, that's
California.
right.
But anyway. But yeah, you feel free to do that. I mean, we've got people that are going to be across the country that are going to be plugging in. And oh, by the way, what I'm waiting for now is the folks that are the directors of Charis Bible College, Raleigh. Their last name's Radigans. And I haven't met them in person, but I met them on Zoom. They're going to send that e the email out to all the alumni. And I don't know how many there are. Ernestine probably would know better than me. But I'm waiting. I'm going to call them tomorrow if they hadn't already, if they hadn't done it by tomorrow, because I got to wait till I hear back from them before I can set a firm date. Because what I wanted to do, I was tentatively shooting for the 16th, Thursday the 16th of October. And, Oh, Lord. And I'm trying to handle this. Excuse me. But that's my target. That was my original kind of penciled in thing. But I need to hear back from that group. And we'll see. That's kind of where it's at. But feel free, y'all, to pass this out anytime along the line, even after we've started. So, it's not about me. It's not about, I mean, the thought of having a lot of people scares me. I'll be honest with you. I've had to bring that before the Lord and repent, because that's me. That's me being carnal. Okay. And so I've had to repent of that. It's not about me. And it's not about the numbers. It's about him reaching people and they can access them. Okay. Well, maybe I should. I'd be preaching again. Anyway, anybody else? Or were you done, Jean and Alan? Were y'all done? Were you finished?
Yes.
Okay. Anybody else got a question?
I have a question. I'm sorry. I don't. I know. I hope. I think you may have in my email. I thought you did, but I looked in my emails, and I don't know. Maybe your last name. I should look it up, but I don't see one from you.
Okay, I want you to look on chat right now. What I'm going to do is I'm going to put in my email and you send me an email.
Yeah, because if you're not in their contacts, it could go to the spam mail.
Yeah, if you don't have my email, that's right, Ernestine. You've got to have smart people on here. If you don't have me, my email address in your contacts, then it goes, you wouldn't get it. You might have it set to go to, you might have it something set up to go to spam. I don't know what I'm talking about, to be honest with you. Ernestine knows. But anyway, there it is.
It was unrecognizable, unrecognizable email that has not come before, or that you're not in the contacts. It'll think it's spam and it'll send the spam. So if you're not getting something sometimes, just go look in your spam folder and see what's in there.
Right.
Yeah, because your computer could have sent something to spam that's really not
Right.
spam.
Right. And even if some people that don't, I mean, I've talked to a couple of people, they don't want to do anything on computer. I said, well, can you call a phone number and listen on the phone? Yeah, I can do that. I said, well, when to send out the link, it comes with phone numbers. You can call a phone number and just
Yeah,
listen on your
it
phone.
sure does come with phone numbers.
And so that's the reason, that's a good reason to use it.
And Rose put hers.
Oh.
It's the same one I sent you, Robert. But Rose sent her put hers in there.
Yeah, she probably didn't get it because I wasn't in her.
What are the contacts?
You're gonna have to enter me in your contacts. Let me see if I can capture yours now. Got enough sense to do that. Let's see, what does that say right there? Or copy.
Yeah, just copy it.
Okay, I got it now. Okay, anybody else?
Well, okay. Well, we're gonna get ready to close for tonight, then.
I want to pray over everyone before we go.
Okay. Let me say this, Robert. Make sure now that you let Robert know you want to be part of the class. So
Yeah.
contact him like he said so he can send you the information.
I don't think I've heard from everyone on here. So you have to let me know. And the thing is, I was thinking about that since you said all that, Ernestine, all those people, you sent me 30 people's emails, only heard from two of them. It's probably because all the rest of them don't have me in their contacts.
Exactly right. I'm gonna have to remind them about that to go and look in their spam. So,
Maybe you can forward it to that group because you're in their contacts.
yeah, I can.
Okay, thank you if you do that.
Okay, I will.
And then thank you.
You're
And
welcome.
I got a question, Jean and Alan. Jean, did you want me to delete the other email? You told me to only use this one. Did you want me to delete the other one?
Yeah,
Okay. I got it.
because I don't check it very much. That has become my spam email.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
Okay.
know, right? It's handy to have one.
I'm going to everybody's spam, so hey, join the club. Okay, I'll take care of that. I got it. Okay, well, I'll
I'm
go
gonna
ahead and
stop
pray.
recording. Oh, you gotta pray. Go ahead and pray before I start recording.
Yeah, well, Amy, I'm not sure I heard from you, but maybe I did. But if I didn't,
No, you didn't. But I want to assure you that I responded to your email tonight. So I'll be joining the class.
okay.
And so thank you.
God bless.
Looking forward to it.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you. Okay. Papa. Oh Lord, you're so good. I honor you, Lord. And all I care about is honoring you. I don't care about anything else. just honoring you. And I just want to thank you, Lord, for your goodness, faithfulness, for all these people that were willing to get on this thing tonight, Lord, and for the people that have responded and that I know you want to meet with. You're going to do a thing with. And I thank you for that. Father, I just bless all of these. I mean, I just speak blessing and favor and special grace, Lord, for your presence to abide with him in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm telling you how much it's not about me. I had started doing this prophetic training. Some of y'all know, Gene, now you know Bob Watson. He one day he gave me his whatever syllabus or whatever. And it was in a PDF. He said, "The Lord told me to give you this. I'm never to give it to anybody." I said, "I don't know why you're giving it to me, and I'm not going to do anything with it." And it was years later, the Lord said, "I want you to take that, sit down, we're going to rewrite it some, and then I want you to start teaching." And I did. And I had to call Bob several times, especially when 125 people signed up, I had to call Bob. I had to divide them into groups of 25. But what happened is, there's this one brother came in, and he was a problem. He was a great big man, and he carried a pistol. And he had been terrorizing some other Christians, not trying to, but he would show up at their Bible studies with a pistol on his waist, and it scared people. And he came in, he was a big man, and I saw him. I said, "Lord, I don't know why you brought him here, but Lord, if I have to put him down, I'm going to have to put him down really hard, really fast, because he's big. And he's got a gun." And the Lord got on me. He said, "I didn't bring him there for you to put him down. I brought him there because I'm going to change him. And I don't want you to give him any special attention. I don't want you to think about him like you would anybody else. I want you to do all of this the way I've shown you to do it. And you just watch what I do." Well, by the third night, there was no pistol. By the end of that whole session, he was a completely different man. And then when I offered it again, which was immediately after, because I had another 100 people sign up, he signed up again. And then when I offered it, I mean, four times he signed up. And the Lord did that thing, and he said, "Now look what I did." And I said, "Well, I can tell you right now, I need to pay more attention to you." And I realize now, it's all I got to do is the little things you tell me to do, and you will do incredible things. And so I just want to let you know, I have such high expectations. I really do, because he's already told me what he wants to do. It's not even up to him. It's up to us. It's all about, we can receive, I want to quote my brother Jet, came out with this phrase one time, we can receive according to our ability to receive. And I will add to it, according to our ability to yield ourselves and humble ourselves before him. And that's something I'm working hard on. I just want to encourage you all, and look forward to seeing you when we do see you, or being with you when we get started. And so appreciate you, and I'll sign up. I'll be quiet now.
Okay, I'm gonna stop recording, Robert.
Oh, sorry.